This is the joint publication of the three Rome-based agents, and I'm very glad that we could present this SOFI 2014 together here today. As usual, we have good and some not so good news, I would say. I'm an optimist. I will start with the good news and then leave to Jomo to tell some of the bad news or others. But the good news is that we made a good progress again this year. Near 200 million people less are hungry compared with the numbers we started in 1990. And I believe this is important achievement. But we still have over 800 million people unnourished, what means that one in nine is still suffering chronic undernourished in the world. And what's shocking is that we have been seeing records after records of food production. So there's more than plenty of food production in the world to provide adequate food for all. These 800 million, to be more precisely, 805 million people are basically unnourished because they could not access the food, because they do not have a good job, or especially in rural areas, they cannot produce enough food for themselves. And this applies particularly for family farmers and especially very small-scale farmers, subsistence farmers. Also, a good news is that we are still on track to achieve the first millennium goal, to halve the proportion of unnourished people. That need a push, no doubt, but we can show in this SOFI that 63 countries out of the 136 countries that we have been monitoring have already achieved this goal. And there are others that could do it. Basically, we present seven good examples, and not so good again, of countries that have provide important lessons for us on how to achieve the millennium goals. You see the list of countries, and I believe that looking for them, the main lesson that we can see is the political will to do it. Poor country like Malawi have did a lot to with their little money, little reserves, financial and human ones, due to the political commitment of the government to tackle hunger and nourish us priority. We also have good example of other countries. One of them, very important, is Brazil, that shows a persistent policy on tackle hunger during the decade of 2000, and they show progress reducing of the number of unnourished people to the point that we can consider it eradicate hunger in the country. And this shows a strong coordination mechanism from the government to do it. A very good example also that we show is Bolivia, where 2/3 of the population are indigenous people, and the government also with, let's say, reduced SERS, could tackle this indigenous population and present very good results on hunger and reducing hunger and unnourished also. There are other good examples around the world, and I'll leave to my colleagues to highlight some of the points. But what I would like to say again is that this joint effort of the three Rome-based agents have shown that working together we can do much more and much better the things. I would like to thank Jean Mou's team, particularly the team of EST that is in charge of A and also ESA that has been working together to present these numbers to us. Remember that we are presenting in advance. We usually do it in October, and now we choose to present this week to have the opportunity to use them during the next week in New York, the General Assembly.
As the Director General noted, ladies and gentlemen, each year the launch of the Joint State of Food Insecurity in the World Report stands as a vital checkpoint for all of us working towards achieving a zero hunger world. This report, as they have done in the past, allow us to reflect candidly, not only on the progress made, but also on the remaining challenges that we must address. I echoed the words of the Director General in acknowledging real progress in reducing both the incidence and the impact of hunger for some 37 million people. Together, we recognize and applaud the improvement, but we cannot yet celebrate, because we still must reach 805 million people who remain without enough food for a healthy and productive life. Because containing the threat of hunger takes time and will require relentless effort working together on all our parts. The theme of this year's report, Strengthening the Enabling Environment, underscores the complexity of food security and nutrition, offering evidence and sharpened learning on the commitment and coherent actions necessary not just to reduce hunger, but also to eliminate it once and for all. The example of Brazil demonstrates when all of the pieces of the puzzle come together, when we couple stability and political will, as noted by the Director General, which he can proudly take some credit for, with the right policies and resources and actions on the ground, we can achieve what some thought impossible. Having hunger and malnutrition for those who need it most, the women, men, girls, and boys who live in extreme poverty. This report, as noted, also features Malawi, painting a picture of progress made with a significant investment in agriculture coupled with political will. Today, undernourishment affects some 20% of Malawians, down from 45% when the MDG target began, successfully meeting the MDG hunger target. Yet, despite such a success improving the availability of food, malnutrition rates in Malawi today remain stubbornly high, as stunting still affects roughly half of all children under 5 years of age, with the devastating health, education, and economic consequences that we know derive from stunting. But recognizing this, the government of Malawi is now implementing the necessary comprehensive agricultural, nutritional, and societal actions required to achieve full progress. So while we must protect the achievements made, demonstrated so clearly by this year's report, it is essential that we intensify our efforts to reach the most affected places and the most affected populations, because it is clear when we look closer at the facts, large disparities remain. The incidence of undernourishment in sub-Saharan Africa is more than double the global rate. As a result, nearly one in four people still endure hunger. And Asia remains home to nearly two-thirds of all the people affected by hunger today. The more we look at the facts, we see, with even just one look around the world today, there's no room for complacency. The world now faces an unprecedented level of crisis, and the biggest challenge to achieving zero hunger is the challenge of acute hunger and the demands of meeting acute hunger as a result of crisis, shocks, and conflicts, including in the places which once enjoyed relatively stable food systems, where once food-secure people became fragile, in some cases, in just a matter of weeks. Yes, everyone here today is fully aware of how conflict resulted in extraordinary levels of humanitarian crisis in Central African Republic, Iraq, South Sudan, and Syria, and in many other countries overlooked by the headlines. But conflict is not our only threat. As we sit here in this room today, we are all mindful of the people in Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia affected by the Ebola crisis, an unprecedented health emergency, which is rapidly becoming a major food crisis. You cannot isolate and treat a million people without addressing the food and nutrition challenges of ensuring that those individuals receive assistance. And you must, and we are working together, FAO and WFP, to assess the challenge of food security on three populations that are not harvesting and planting pursuant to their regular seasonal requirements while the crisis rages on, and the impact that lack of planting will have and harvesting will have on the ongoing food and nutrition requirements of these three countries. So this is rapidly becoming a major food crisis, affecting potentially 1.3 million people today, with an unknown number of how many it will affect in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to conclude by highlighting the good news of this report, though. Once again, sustainable, accelerated, substantial reductions in hunger, and the achievement of a world without hunger is possible in our lifetimes. But this report is also a call for action, reminding us we must protect the achievements made by creating and sustaining strong, enabling environments. We cannot let the unprecedented level of humanitarian crisis undermine our efforts to progress even further, to reaching our planet's most vulnerable people, and to ending hunger in our lifetimes. We can do it working together. Thank you.
This year's edition of The State of Food Insecurity in the World shines a bright light on governance. Governance is, as you know, a key element for food security, because hunger will never be eradicated unless there is a better enabling environment for improving food security and nutrition. This requires the right policies, tight legal frameworks, and a strong evidence base to guide national programs. Food security and nutrition must be at the center of the governance agenda. Amid calls today for a greater global commitment to food security, we should remember, of course, that food security is already at the top of the agenda for those who cannot feed their families and their children. Every day they wait for commitments and initiatives and policies to be translated into positive actions. As the president of IFAD, Dr. Kanayo Nwanze, has said, it's not pity and handouts that they need. It's access to markets and finance, it's land tenure security, it's knowledge and technology, it's policies that favor small farms and make it easier for them to work and to grow. You're probably aware from this SOFI report that 98% of undernourished people live in developed regions. 3/4 of those people live in rural areas where their main business is, of course, agriculture and rural activities. By agriculture specifically, we mean smallholder agriculture. As you probably know, some 85% of farms throughout the world, especially in the tropics, are less than 2 hectares. A major factor in achieving food security for these small farms will be creating an enabling environment so that such farms can grow and thrive. Creating this enabling environment is not the responsibility alone of agricultural ministries or of governments. It requires collaboration among all those involved for each sector in production, from rural infrastructure to the latest technologies and information throughout the consumption and value chains. Food security also means involving the private sector to provide smallholders with access to inputs and to markets. In Indonesia, for example, IFAD is working with the government and the Mars Company in a partnership that involves local smallholders in the cocoa sector. Our partners at all levels have set up several cocoa development centers and buying points to give farmers more access to finance and to markets. Thanks to such technical and financial support, farmers have tripled their production incomes. Policies affect every dimension of the institutional legal context in which poor rural women and men earn their livings. Policies shape the economic opportunities open to them. This is why at IFAD we talk about the need for rural transformation that is both social and economic, one that addresses not just production but issues of access and inequality. An agenda for food and nutrition security must therefore be holistic if it is to be sustainable. Only by addressing its multiple dimensions with coordinated approaches and partnership can we hope to create the conditions in which people lift themselves out of poverty, food insecurity, and malnutrition. Strong political leadership is indispensable for food security. Ensuring better food security and nutrition requires sustained political commitment at the highest level, in addition to adequate resources, both financial and human. Such adequate resources are indispensable, but they are certainly not enough without political commitment. Ensuring food security requires better implementation, monitoring and evaluation of policies and programs at the national and subnational levels as well. But even if we do all this, we will have not done enough unless we involve people directly in their own development. This is what is called the empowerment agenda, giving poor people a say in policy discussions to create an enabling environment that benefits them wherever they may be. At IFAD, we know that our work is most effective and generates the most broad results, the best results when we take a participatory approach. And we're certainly proud to be able to say that our partners at FAO and WFP share our commitment to greater participation at all levels. Such participation means building the capacities of communities, farmers' organizations, women's groups to lift themselves out of poverty and hunger, and to ensure their participation in the design, implementation, and evaluation of programs that we support. Again, improving food security is not just about producing more food, as the Director General of FAO has rightly stressed. Good governance should aim to create an enabling environment for all dimensions of food security: availability, access, stability, and utilization. As the SOFI 2014 has pointed out, this is a contribution to the measurement and analysis of a very complex issue, and we're very proud to have contributed to this joint effort. The issue may be complex, but together the Rome-based agencies will continue their efforts to collectively combat food insecurity and malnutrition today and to build a future that is free from hunger. Thank you very much.